Welcome to the Spirituality What? Podcast, where we explore the mysteries, joys, and challenges of being spiritual beings navigating our unpredictable human experience we call life here on planet Earth. I'm your friendly guide, Rebecca, ready to jump into our adventure of the day. Hey, everybody. Rebecca here with the Spirituality What? Podcast. We are back this week with part two of our two-part episode with Austin on urban farming and gardening. And so this week, we're going to talk a little bit about how the actual act of being in the garden contributes to his spiritual growth or well-being, and how tending the garden is kind of a metaphor or, you know, something that you can use to kind of think about tending your spirit. Grounding, we're going to talk a little bit about grounding, our energetic exchange with the plants and what that looks like, and some of the science and studies around plant energy. We're also going to talk a little bit about tips about getting started with gardening, including community gardens as well. So thank you for joining us for the second part of this episode, and here we go. So over time, you've kind of always been motivated to garden from a food perspective. And it's always kind of been spiritual, but it's been also very much about the product, seeing joy in people's faces, I think, you know, and hearing people and having people love the food or be able to eat foods that they haven't been able to eat for a really long time. So in what ways does the act of gardening contribute to your spiritual growth or your spiritual journey or your spiritual well-being?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the big one too. I think the biggest part is, you know, that a garden, such as your spirit or your soul, left untended, will...
He's a closer.
Yeah, absolutely. For lack of better words, yeah. It is, yeah. It will get out of control, and it will get out of hand, and it will overcome and consume you in the worst way possible. Mm. You know, but you tend to the garden, and the garden of your mind, and the garden of your spirit, you will be able to benefit from the energy you put into it. And seeing gardening as a spiritual practice is a daily commitment. Mm. And even when it's not gardening season, you know, in the fall, after harvest, through the winter, you're still thinking about it. Mm. You know, you're still prepping for the next part. Mm. And I think that's a spiritual practice too, because you know, we go through ebbs and flows in life, and not everything is, you know, flowers and cherry tomatoes. It's planning how you're going to survive through that, and still put a little bit of energy towards the next year's harvest, which they say, you know, gardeners are like the eternal optimists, because you're always planting a seed now
for six months
from the future. Yeah, you're always thinking forward and thinking ahead for the best. You know, I'm not going to throw a bunch of seeds in the ground and just be like, nah, it's going to be shit. No, you're like, no, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to check on them every day. I'm going to water them every day. I'm going to fertilize them when they need to. You know, I'm going to, you know, go and pick aphids off if I need to. You know, there's so much could be said about that. And I think, you know, one of my favorite quotes ever is, you know, your thoughts. Oh, let me see. It's a favorite quote, but I can't remember right now. If your thoughts are seeds and your mind is a garden, no, your mind is a garden and your thoughts are seeds, you can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. Mm. And I think that says a lot about, you know, everyone's everyday practice. You know, you don't necessarily have to be an optimist, but what you do think about every day is what you bring about into your life.
Yeah, it's what grows and manifests and turns into a jungle.
Yeah. Or a weed-ridden flower bed.
Yeah. So is there something about tending to the soil or pulling the weeds? Do you, that you have a physical
reaction to, or a mental reaction to, or an energetic reaction? Like, what, when you say like you're tending the garden and that tends your spirit, like what is happening there?
Yeah, I think honestly all the above, you know, because, you know, physically connecting with the earth, you know, as we know it, is grounding your energetic body.
There's science there.
You're already, even in just the first 5 minutes, you're already grounding your body, relaxing your nervous system. Yeah. On a mental level, you're doing something you really don't want to do, but you know you have to do it. And that says a lot about, you know, putting your well wishes aside and what I want to be doing with my life, but also what I know I need to be doing with my life.
So like, instead of being like, well, I just want to sit down and watch a bunch of TV.
Right.
Being like, I need...
And I just order a pizza and I'll be full, not necessarily nourished, but I'll be fed and entertained. And I can just try the garden tomorrow.
It is a little bit work. It absolutely is. Yeah. Actually, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. As is, I think, spiritual practice too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it can't be all, you know, rainbows and cherry tomatoes. You know, you got to put in the work. You know? And the work itself doesn't have to be, I guess, considered work. Because I say, if you know, love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And that's why I've turned to like weeding as a love for it, because, you know, I'm talking to the plants, you know, I'm beautifying the environment. I'm ridding the root systems that my tomatoes are trying to grow into of these, you know, these plants that I don't want to be there. And yes, it is work, but it's so rewarding because you just know you're doing better for the plants and then for yourself afterward.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just thinking, like, we were weeding earlier this weekend, I don't know, there's been a lot of weeding in the last 7 days.
A lot of overgrowth.
Yeah. And it was very much like, especially the bed that I was weeding, had a lot of, the weeds were like at least 2 feet tall, but all, I was really like, the whole bed is full of weeds. There's no plants that we want in there. And actually getting down into it, I was able to discover, they're only like six inches tall or 12 inches tall. You know, they're really short. And so it was a very rewarding practice to be like exposing those plants to the elements, which is what they need. You know, the soil is a little bit drier because they're so much farther down and they're not getting any sun. And so it was very like exciting.
Yeah.
To be like, look, you got it now. Like, you can survive. Like,
totally, yeah. Yeah. And to, you know, again, you know, liberating the space, you know, like when we would, you know, pull up a root ball from a weed, you know, it would expose some ladybugs and some earthworms. And I got excited. I'd be like, oh, yeah, like that's living soil. That's awesome. But now there's more space for the earthworm to crawl around. It's aerating the soil for them. And, you know, ladybugs are looking for one thing, and that's food. And they usually eat aphids. They were eating aphids off of a weed plant. Well, if that weed plant's not there, where are they going to go? They're going to go to the tomato plant. And they're going to eat the aphids off my tomato plant. And that's what I want them to do.
Yeah.
I don't care about the weeds.
Yeah.
You know, and sure, you know, if you think, you know, 3-6 months from now, those weeds will turn into compost and that's going to nourish the garden, that might be fine. But I want the ladybugs to eat the plants that I want to grow now. So you're actually really opening up the whole environment for everything involved.
Yeah. So there's this physical, scientifically proven physical benefit of grounding, which I definitely want to do a whole episode on grounding. Love grounding.
Yeah.
It's the cheapest thing you could ever do for your physical
for the
body.
Health like of your body. Yeah,
but just go outside, take your shoes off, like... Yeah. No, it doesn't connect work with in the cement, earth. But like...
Yeah. Yeah, there's no like woo-woo spirituality about it. It's scientific. It works.
Is. It's scientific, know? Yeah. So you've got this scientific physical benefit for your actual body. You've got the energetic benefit of sort of interacting with plants. And you've potentially got kind of mental benefits because you're creating maybe positive emotions or just because of the, you know, we talked about in a couple of episodes, sort of like the repetitive work can be akin to or lead to like meditation as well. And so kind of just continued weeding or continued tending in the garden can be a type of meditation practice, yeah, or a similar, maybe not exactly meditation, but
yeah, it can be. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Calming of the mind.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Reconnecting with your surroundings. Mm-hmm. You know, and kind of to go back to my belief in spirituality is that it's your practice of your belief. And the belief for me is seeing that there is more to the unseen world than we know. Mm-hmm. You're putting emphasis into that. So as you're weeding this garden, you're not just doing it, you know, because someone told you so or because you know that the plants need it. You're doing it because there's an energy that the plants, their ideal surroundings need. Mm-hmm. That you are providing them with. And if you would like to reap the benefits of that tomato plant, you want to give it the ideal setting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you are weeding, you're nourishing,
yeah,
you know, you're watering.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. And then really quickly, just back to the energy, because I think, you know, we're trying to always balance science and woo-woo. I mean, I love woo-woo, so I'm like, bring right, on the woo-woo. Yeah, course,
woo-woo's but, the fun side of spirituality.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but when we talk about the energetic interaction with the plants as well, it's worth mentioning that there are scientific studies out there about energetic interactions and verbal interactions with plants, right? Mm-hmm. I think it was like a university that had two corn plants or something in these glass enclosures, mm-hmm, at like the entrance to a building in the university. And one plant had, they both had speakers in there saying things like, I love you, you're amazing, I appreciate you, like all, you know, gratitude, good things. And then the other plant had, I hate you, you're horrible, right? And it's similar to the rice experiment. Mm-hmm. It's very, very similar.
Water experiment.
But yeah. And it, I want to say it was within like 2 days they started to see a visible difference,
yeah,
between the plants.
Yeah.
And so I think there's this energetic, there's this like unspoken energetic experience, which when we talked about it kind of being work, if you approach it as like, well, I hate this and this right, is really tough, like that even if you're not saying those things, if that's the energy that you're bringing to the activity, it could impact.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah. 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 And, you know, for me, you know, like when we're reading, you know, I don't say it out loud, but in my spirit, my energy that I project is saying, you know, I'm sorry for ripping you out of the ground, but you're benefiting the better good, mm-hmm, the common good. Mm-hmm. And then I look at the tomatoes and I say, see, yeah, I'm doing this, mm-hmm, for your benefit as well, you know. Yeah, that similar study, there was another one years ago where there was a room full of plants and they could tell, you know, the bioelectric field of the plants, or the aura, if you will, of the, mm-hmm, plants. And they had a person come in and maliciously hack up, mm-hmm, and chop up one of the plants.
In front of all the other plants. Oh, my God.
And they could tell the plants freaked out. You know, they could tell the energy signatures freaked out.
Gosh.
Here's the crazy thing. That person left, came back the next day. That person walked back into the room, didn't touch a single plant, and the plant still reacted to that person's energy. Saying like, that
they
was
can,
the
like,
guy.
Recognize and remember.
Right. So that kind of breeds that we know of plants being sentient, mm, or at least to a smaller degree.
Yeah.
And that they have a memory and they hold that memory.
Wow, that's so cool. Yeah. So it's funny because we have, when we plant our garden every year, we have a little bit of a party. It's not like anything.
Yeah,
crazy.
It's not a blowout, but you know.
But we've got a huge garden. And, yeah, so we've got friends over. And we do have one friend in particular who, every single plant, she's always like, I love you. You're such a great plant.
Yeah.
This is going to be such a wonderful season. And there's really something to that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I would think that that plant responds to it and maybe feels a little sad that it doesn't see that friend around as often. Because we're not the, you know, it's our garden.
Yeah,
we're,
yeah,
not the ones saying,
yeah,
it. Our friend,
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
And even though that energy is still there, and the plant's like, where'd you go? You know, like.
But there's likely
there
an impact, right?
Absolutely.
In your flowers, in, mm-hmm, your tomatoes, you know, there is likely an impact with the energy that, based on what you're saying, right? Like the energy that you bring, but also, like, I wonder how long do they remember, right? Like, if you're in a pissy mood one day and you go to your garden, like, what is the lasting impact on your garden?
Absolutely. Like, yeah, that's a question to kind of dig into, you know. They say water holds memory, or can hold memory, mm-hmm. for a long time, mm-hmm. you know, generations even. Or it can, you know, be retrained to hold memory almost overnight. Mm-hmm. So, you know, plants and the cells that divide off of the water and the energy that surrounds it. Yeah, it could be, you know, it could be all the above. You know, it could be a quick flash in the pan mm-hmm. memory.
But it's like this constant loop.
Right, yeah. And it's reaffirming that energy too, mm-hmm. you know. You know, I think if someone, you know, let's say like a big commercial garden, and the person in charge that's actually planting the plants is saying, "Hey, I love you, you're mm-hmm. great, you're going to be awesome." And then the next time the gardener comes in, it's like, "Oh, that's not enough, and oh, they're so weak and they're so small." You know, like that could override a lot of mm-hmm. that plant memory.
Mm-hmm. Sort of even depending on the intensity of the sort of emotion.
Emotion, absolutely.
Oh my God, I had this crazy visual when you were talking about hacking up the plants, like all these like emojis on the plants, like, you know, oh my God, like,
yeah, right.
Hey,
yeah.
Big huge surprise faces, like
covering
crying.
The eyes, yeah. Yeah, everything. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yeah. That's hilarious. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about the physical things with gardening. So what are some maybe both lessons learned in gardening for actual gardening, but also spiritual lessons that you might have learned through the practice of gardening?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I think, you know, some physical lessons with the act of gardening would be patience.
That's a good one.
Yeah, persistence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, always, you know, for lack of better words, always just checking in, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't want to sow a seed and just, hey, see you in 6 months. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to constantly be monitoring the seed that you sowed. Mm-hmm. And I think that could also be the same thing for a spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. You know, I catch myself throughout the day, you know, I would say almost imposter syndrome. You know, I'm working on a big job that I know I can do, but in the moment, you know, I might screw up or I might not be as fast as I originally thought mm-hmm. I would be. And I'll start to say like, oh yeah, why did I even take this job? Why should I continue doing this mm-hmm. job? And I'll catch myself and say, no. You know, you committed to it. You knew when you committed to it that you can do it in its fruition, and you're doing it right now. So why are you telling yourself that you can't? Mm. You know, so, you know, to always be checking in, constantly. You know, again, it's I don't think spirituality is like checking boxes. Like, oh yeah, I believe in this, and yep, that's true, and
okay, I did this thing.
I did this thing. Yeah, I meditated for 5 minutes today. Cool, I'm good. You know, no, it's you have to keep checking in with yourself mm-hmm. and checking in with how you want to reap what you sow. Mm-hmm. There's just so many lessons I think could be, you know, hand in hand with gardening and spirituality, you know, because we reap, you know, our thoughts create our world. Mm-hmm. And our experience, and the more we believe in that experience, or the more we believe in the seeds that we've planted, the more we'll get out of it. Mm-hmm. And the more we tell ourselves the opposite, we'll get that too.
Yeah. You know?
Another fun quote is, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
It's true.
You know, and when I started gardening, I loved good food. I knew I wanted to have more of it in my life. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I still kind of consider myself a guerrilla gardener. Because, you know, even though we have a pretty good plan in place, a lot of times we're like, oh, where's this going to go? I don't know. Fuck it. Just throw it on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not necessarily planting things next to each other. What's that, like sister planting?
Yeah, or companion planting. Yeah, we're not like, mapping everything out. And, you know, everyone says, oh, you have to plant on a full moon, or, you know, you have to plant for this month to receive this. And, oh, June is a good month to plant these if you want to.
Oh, yeah, we just plant everything.
Yeah, we just fucking go for it. And we do really well every single year, way more than we can eat every single year, which is why, you know, for me, the biggest benefit is sharing all of that bounty, you know, with our friends, our neighbors, and just knowing that, you know, it's going to be well received, and again, the imposter syndrome, right? Like, I'll say, like, oh, we have a farm, you know, like we have a garden, we have a greenhouse, we have chickens, we have fruit trees, and that's only on a third of an acre. When I talk to even our family members who have 400 acres, that say, oh, that's a cute farm, you know, you're a gardener, not a farmer. You know, they have that imposter syndrome. But then we would look at our neighbors who have a brown thumb for days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even just to have a tomato from a garden is like, holy shit, this is awesome. Like, you guys are doing great. And it's like, okay, yep, that's it. You know, we're not trying to save the world here. We're just trying to make our little portion of the world a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for those people with a brown thumb, if someone was like, let's just be clear, I was one of those people mm-hmm. before. I came into our relationship with a moldy plant. I vividly recall that. Mm-hmm. And you were like, sad. It's dead. Yeah. I was like, it's alive. You're like, it's literally got mold on it. Like, it's not alive. So lots of growth since then.
Literally.
But like, how would you suggest somebody start? Like, what are some really easy ways to start with gardening for the people that are like, well, I am afraid, or I do have imposter syndrome, or like, I just literally don't know.
Yeah. I guess the first would be, you know, what do you want to get out of it? You know, mm-hmm. Like we were talking about gardening, fruits and vegetables or, you know, petunias and marigolds,
mm-hmm.
you know, do you want just pretty flowers or do you want to eat?
Really and well. Like, there's nothing wrong with pretty flowers.
Not at all. Yeah, we have pretty flowers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We totally love pretty flowers.
Yeah, they're super beneficial. Yes. Yeah,
bees, etc.
Yep, they're great to look at. You know, we'll just kind of like, you know, pick some, you know, lilac blossoms when mm-hmm. they come in and just have them on the table just because they look and smell amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But we also love eating really well, so that's our focus. Yeah, I think the first one would be, you know, just kind of just decide what you want to do. You know. What your goals are. And then, you know, I think gardening is also about community.
Mm.
You could garden on your own and do really well. It's a lot of work, a lot of knowledge, a lot of research to get there. If you don't know what you're doing, if you're starting from scratch, that community aspect, man, like gardeners love to talk about gardening, you know, all day long, you know. You know, even like, look at like the marijuana industry, you know, if you start talking to a marijuana grower, they will go on for days, and that's how they share knowledge. So, you know, connecting with your community around gardening, and there's, you know, with online groups now, you can connect with people in your local area. You can connect with people in Australia and see what's going on. Patience. This is another one. You know, some plants can be forgiving. It's like our spider plants, our house plants, you know, you can forget about watering them for 2 weeks and then you give them some water and they perk right back up.
Mm-hmm.
Some aren't as forgiving and they need water every single day.
Or a certain amount of light.
Certain amount of light, and a certain amount of nutrients on a schedule. So you really, you know, it's really about patience too. Not just with the plants, but with yourself, you know, really give yourself some grace that, you know, we don't know all the answers, but as long as we're trying and learning and growing, learning from our mistakes and trying not to repeat them, you know, you can really just learn year after year or season after season.
Yeah. And I think one aspect on the community, like in case there are folks that live in places where these aren't as prevalent, but like there's community gardens you can sign up for.
Absolutely.
You can like get a plot and they have water, they've got tools. Mm-hmm. And I think in my personal
they even have seeds for you.
Yeah, in my personal experience when I did that, there are so many people there every time I went that when I had a question or I wanted to talk to somebody, I'd, you know, just walk over to the other garden plot. Mm-hmm. I'm also an extrovert, so it's a little bit easier for me to be like, yeah, let's go talk to a random person that I don't
right.
know.
Right. The introvert is waiting there to saying, be spoken like, to. Can someone please tell me what I'm doing wrong? Yeah.
So, but I think it does open an opportunity for connection because you've both, you know, rented this spot in a mm-hmm. similar location. You have similar ideas.
And you get a little bit of buy-in.
Yeah, yeah. And there are every single level of experience in those community garden plots. Mm-hmm. It's really because it's really about space, usually,
yeah.
for people.
Yeah. 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 And knowing, I guess, you know, there's a little bit of knowledge is knowing where to plant. You know, the Master Gardener Association loves to talk about the right plant in the right place. Mm. You know, we in Colorado, I like to say we can grow anything here, but we can't. You know, mm-hmm. fruit trees, other than stone fruit trees, really just don't grow well here. Berries don't really grow well here. And a lot of people, and they sell them, you know, at the local big box stores, and they're just a waste of money. Mm. You know, unless you really have a unique microclimate in your garden that will be habitable for, you know, eastern blueberries, you're really not going to, it's not going to grow at all.
Or so it's not even on you, right? If there's a problem potentially.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've, you know, this is a funny story and I'll call out my brother-in-law, but we had a potted plant in the house and he literally put like a slice of tomato in the potted plant. He's like, oh, yeah, we're going to grow tomatoes in this potted plant. And the potted plant was like 6 inches big. And there were maybe like 20 sprouts that came out of the... I was pretty impressed by the amount of... tomato. Yeah, just a slice of tomato. Not even in the soil, like on the top of the soil. He'd water it. And there were like 20 sprouts that came out. He's like, look, we're going to have tomatoes. No, you're not. You know, 20 plants with a houseplant involved is going to compete for soil. Yeah. And will probably wring itself dry before it even bears a fruit mm-hmm. or even a flower. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you really have to know what you're growing. Yeah. You know, if you want to start with potted plants, I would start with like culinary herbs, mm-hmm. you know, basil, chives, oregano, thyme, or, you know, heads of lettuce. You know, those take up a really small amount of space. They grow really fast. Mm-hmm. And then you can kind of get to learn this plant cycle,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah. Learn more about the plants.
Right,
plants.
Yeah. You know, a lot of other friends too, they're like, oh, I took this avocado seed.
Oh yeah, that's like popular.
Yeah, it's super, you know, oh, I'm gonna have an avocado tree in my house. Cool. Well, an avocado doesn't really bear fruit until its fifth year. And at year five, that thing is 10 to 15 feet tall. Do you really want to have that in your house? Are you giving it adequate light? Are you giving it yeah. water and nutrients? Yeah. You know, it's the right plant, the right place. Yeah. So really, if my biggest tip would be just to know the plants you want to grow. And really do some research on what you have to work with. Yeah. You know, gosh, if you have 400 acres, I'd say go for it, grill a garden all day long.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then see what works. Man, mm-hmm. if you have avocados growing in, you know, freaking Montana, great, do it. You know, yeah. I would love to see that happen. I still have a very adventurous dream of having mango trees mm. and pineapple orchards here in Colorado. Which are, you know, typically grown in, you know, southern United yeah. States, Florida, Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know, and, you know, you need a big, big, big greenhouse to have a 20-year-old mango tree
yeah.
to actually bear fruit.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. Well, this has been a fabulous conversation, and we will finish with one more tip, which is what is one tip that you have about living as a spiritual being in this human experience in these human bodies that you would like to share with the listeners, and it does not necessarily have to be gardening related.
Mm. Honestly, I think it's you know, I think we can all learn from this tip. It is patience.
Mm. You know, hallelujah.
Yeah, it's as spiritual beings in this physical incarnation, and knowing all the knowledge that is being kind of force fed to us right now, we want it right now. We want enlightenment right now. We want to be one with ourselves and whatever divine creator we call it now. But that's not really the nature of the universe. You know, It might be on different dimensions, you know, where you can snap your fingers mm-hmm. and things just kind of pop in and out of existence. But in this realm, in this existence, manifestation takes time mm-hmm. and it takes patience. Yeah. You know, you still focus on your goal, but you have to wait for it to come to fruition.
Awesome. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, if anyone has any questions for you mm-hmm. today, what is the best way for them to reach out to you or to stay in contact with you or to connect with you?
Yeah, you know, of course, all the socials. Awesome Acres is the name of my company. You can find us on Facebook or Instagram. You can email me directly at austin@awesomeacres.com. And yeah, I'd say go from there. Okay. You know? Cool. A quick reach out and a quick question, and I love talking to new people and yeah, awesome. Keep that connection going.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Austin.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, everybody, that is a wrap. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you are liking what you're hearing on this podcast, feel free to follow and share with all of your friends. The follow button in Spotify is right below the podcast art on the page, and it just says follow. You can also subscribe in YouTube. All of that helps me get access to additional podcast guests. So there are podcast guests that have follow and download and subscriber kind of requirements and thresholds. So every time somebody follows or subscribes, it gets me closer and closer to being able to access some of those people, which is really exciting. And if you want to see this podcast continue in 2025, definitely follow and share with all your friends. And we will talk again next week. Thank you for joining me on today's Spirituality What? Adventure. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. Visit us on Instagram at spirituality.what to interact, tell us what spirituality means to you, and even provide some of your own personal musings. Human on, you phenomenal spiritual beings.